welcome to the Popcorn Junkies. We are reviewing Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the much heralded sequel to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Obviously, this is this wonderfully, wonderfully animated spin-off Marvel series coming from Sony Pictures, obviously in conjunction with Marvel Cinematic Universe, pivoting around the character of Miles Morales. And it has to be said, the Miles Morales character, supremely cool, very edgy. I love his backstory, I love his story, I love his personality, I love the portrayal of him by Shameik Moore, who's the chap obviously who voices him. So Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, it's been a long time waiting for this. Has it been 5 years or something like that? The first film was a sensation. And it's interesting because the first one came out, its style of editing is sort of dubbed a sort of cartoon for adult animation, adult animation. Incredible. I don't know if it is. I just think it's incredibly sophisticated, incredibly clever, layered spin and riff on the ways in which comics are written. I think that's what I particularly liked about it, was it was a way of bringing to life the almost granular dot of the coloration and pixelation of comic books, the framing, the page layouts, the text, the dialogue, the way in which different types of animation can be used to create different moods, obviously, but also different senses of drama, different sense of character, a different sense of era, location, and all that kind of stuff. And so it was like a sort of tone poem to the art and artistry of comics, the physical entity of a comic, but then given this completely transformational kind of treatment as something on screen that as we know, went on to win an Oscar and really radicalized and revolutionized and transformed what we could come to expect from a mainstream animated feature. And that it really resonated for our girls. We loved it. The soundtrack was fantastic. The characterization was brilliant. Now, this is the sequel. It's been a long time coming. It's been a struggle for us all to kind of get to see this. And it's doing incredibly sensational business, and it has an incredibly high Rotten Tomatoes. From the front, I'm going to say I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this a lot. I found it starts with Spider-Gwen. We have a lot more other sort of Spideys in there. This is, you know, obviously in the previous film, in the first film, you get a sense of Spider-Noir, is it? Spider-Man Noir and all that kind of stuff. And then you had a little Porky, a little pig, Spider-Pig or whatever his name was. You have all these weird characters. This starts with Spider-Gwen. Voiced by Hayley Steinfeld. It started where the last one sort of signed off. You know, it was in your face, it's arresting, it's sensational, it's immersive in a truly kind of wow. The eyes and ears are fully engaged throughout. Your eyes are peeled left, right and centre. One thing I really liked about the first film, which I think lots of subsequent films in all sorts of areas of the superhero kind of franchises that there are, I thought it did a good job of orientating us around this idea of Spider-Verses, multiverses, quantum realms, all that kind of malarkey. I really liked the way Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse got us into that. What I also liked about the first film was the way in which it was very much Miles Morales' story. Yes, we ended up moving into the world of different iterations of Spider-Man, Peter Parker, all that kind of stuff. But in its essence and at the center was Miles Morales, or this young teenager who was themselves kind of, you know, coming to terms with these Spidey skills. And so the idea that he was one of many wasn't necessarily problematic because, of course, he was the one that we were following. And I was really invested in Miles Morales' story. So I was a little bit surprised that this one started very much embedded with Spider-Gwen, potential love interest, obviously, that's the connection across Spider-Verses. And this is a very elaborate sort of film. It's quite complex in what it's trying to present, insofar as there are these many, many different realms, different Earths, if you like. Earth 65, I think, is where Spider-Gwen is. And that they're sort of sitting in parallel kind of universes, and that each iteration of Spider-Man or Spider-Gwen or whatever Spidey you are, Lego Spider, you know, Lego Spider-Man too, that they're moving through their own life, and no one should kind of reach out from their own verse, if you like, into someone else's verse. And so leading with Spider-Gwen, I found slightly tripped me up. But then, of course, we do get to Miles Morales. She reconnects with him, and then we have this kind of complication that sort of evolves from a connection being made across multiverses. And then I was getting into, you know, there's a lot of parallels between all these films that deal with multiverses and crossing them, and if you cross them and interfere with the ongoing narrative of one multiverse, then you're going to fuck things up. Even The Flash that's out at the moment is all about, you know, traveling back in time, hitting that multiverse, shouldn't I, what the consequences of that, back to the future styly. And in this, there's the same thing. You know, he goes back, they go back, they change something, they alter something in order to stop someone dying, and then does that completely kind of, you know, create total havoc. this got it wasn't that I didn't like this film, but for me, I found it got sort of overwhelmed by almost the sheer number of different verses, multiverses and iterations of Spider-Man that they wanted to kind of follow or visit, whether it be, you know, the one in Mumbai or, you know, and yes, they all interlinked and they all interfaced it. But I felt I wanted right from the beginning to bed back into the I wanted to invest personally because it's been so long. It's been 5 years. I needed something at the front of this film that got me back into contact and into a sort of cinematic viewer audience relationship with Miles Morales on an intimate level. I wanted to get to know him again. I wanted to sort of feel him again. And this didn't do that for me. I felt that this film very quickly and from the get-go and really didn't let up at any point, put the pedals to the floor, hit the gas hard and accelerates at speed through something that you cannot deny is visually sensational, visually incredibly stimulating. But I would go so far as to say that sometimes it was moving through stuff so quickly, whether it be Spider-Punk, you know, voiced by Daniel Kaluuya, or whether it be the Indian iteration of Spider-Man. You know, we moved into realms, even the Lego moment was very brief, where you were there so briefly and you then moved off and moved on and moved off. You know, you had the idea of parallel stories, you had the idea of Miles Morales' father, if he did die or didn't die, what would this mean? What were the implications for other parts of the realm? Peter Parker pops up at one point. And, you know, it just became, for me, it became too busy. And I got really frustrated because for me, this film really came into its own almost at the very end. When it was shown to us that there was the alter ego Miles Morales, the dark, the twisted, still freaking cool looking final, you know, Miles Morales versus the Miles Morales that now all of the other Spideys are going to have to go and rescue. This felt like an incredibly long, incredibly visually sumptuous and stimulating sort of prologue, if you like, to film three. And, you know, I have to confess, I mean, there were huge parts of this that I was watching it, but it wasn't touching me in the way that I was touched often and moved and engaged and, you know, and made to feel something with the first film. I found the first film was a real character portrait with lots and lots of pyrotechnics, you know, animated pyrotechnics around it, whereas I found this was animated pyrotechnics with bits of characterization around it or following the action. I mean, there were times where I was beginning to think, am I getting too old for this? You know, this idea that you replace one person with another person. There's this device used within this, which is like almost a Spider-Man HQ. It was like cosplay in the animated world for every single different type of Spidey you could have, whether it be a dinosaur Spider-Man. And for me, if I'm honest, I found the ubiquity and Spider-Man being any type of Spider-Man everywhere. I tell you what began to happen for me with this film a little bit. I was beginning to feel a dilution of Miles Morales, or I was beginning to feel a dilution of the Spider-Man superhero or the Spider-Man concept. It was almost like by becoming too many different versions and becoming too many different iterations, we were losing focus on following the intricacies of, you know, I thought this was going to be Spider-Gwen and Miles Morales and maybe, yeah, great, let's understand it from his, you know, from Spider-Gwen's perspective, a young girl, a young woman, two worlds trying to, but this, it seemed like with every new multiverse that was landed with a new iteration of Spider-Man on top of the new Spider-Man, there were more and more and more and more. And I got to a point, not that I didn't or couldn't necessarily follow it, but a huge part of me didn't want to follow it. And I was curious, I was in the cinema, I was looking back and there were a couple of toddlers in there and they were fidgeting. And I was thinking, is this going to really be of, you know, how is this going to, this, the first film really appealed to the slightly older teenager and the slightly smaller sort of, you know, teeny tweeny type, you know, Kiki. And I was thinking, this film isn't really thinking about the much younger, but also it's not really thinking about, I didn't find the story engaging. I didn't really care. And I was desperate for some scenes of intimacy and introspection and comedy and entertainment and interaction, or just cool kind of interaction between, you know, between the characters and what have you. But instead, I found with all these kind of different spider people all running around and chasing, it became bloated. I found it was ricocheting off in so many directions. I also was weird. I was thinking, where's that tune? I remember so many tracks in the first Spider-Man across the Into the Spider-Verse. So many tunes being such sort of standout tunes. We'd listen to them afterwards. I found some of the music in this quite generic. I just found it sort of grinding along, trying to sort of get the action moving and all this kind of stuff. So I know it's getting huge scores everywhere on Rotten Tomatoes. I know everyone's singing from the same song sheet saying it's absolutely sensational. Look, you cannot escape or marvel, no pun intended, at the artistry. But I even found that the kind of innovations around presenting comic stuff onto screen had already hit its limitations. We weren't getting, I didn't feel I got too many of these, you know, you got a few kind of definitions of words in boxes, or you had a few location things, you had a few split screen moments. You know, they were starting chapters with literally the front cover of a different comic, which I found almost quite literal after the huge kind of eye-opening surprise of the first film. It almost felt like they already had run out of ideas and so simply just kept going faster and faster and more colourful and more colourful. I'm not entirely convinced by Spider-Punk. I don't know if I want a Spider-Man with a Mohican. I mean, I know he's a thing, but it just didn't, I don't know, that wasn't what I was expecting. Yes, the pyrotechnics, yes, all of that, but I was wanting a little bit more heart and or conflict. And again, as I say, the last 5 to 10 minutes of this, I loved. I thought, wow, who this dark alter ego, the yin and the yang, the who is Miles Morales the good, Miles Morales the bad? Is it one half, two halves of the same person? I like the bit where suddenly his father's not there and he's with his uncle, is it? His you know, and there's that kind of dark, dubious aspect to what, you know, what they're doing in their lives and how he's living his lives and how he returns to this world where there's no Spider-Man and there's, you know, who is Spider-Man, all that kind of stuff. I thought that was great. I thought that was really interesting. I thought that was really, you know, there was so much more to be had there. And I just think that this threw all of that away in pursuit of visual pyrotechnics. And as I say, this is not a criticism of how it looks. It looks amazing. And there are some great moments. But there's only so much I think one can keep taking of that. And I found myself slightly disengaged. I found myself disengaged in a way that I just wasn't with the first. And I'd love to know if anyone else felt that too, or whether, you know, this was a continuation for you guys of what the original film did. Because for me, it didn't. For me, this felt like it was an extension of the original. This felt like derivative of the original. It didn't feel as focused as the original. It felt, you know, it felt like everything was diluted, as I say, amongst too many different sort of Spider-Mans. The baddie, you know, I quite like the hole guy, you know, the guy with the hole, whatever his name was, the guy who, you know, you have to put your hands into him and all that kind of stuff. You know, I liked all of that. The Spot, his name was The Spot. I like that, you know, that's kind of cool. But I got no real sense. I was expecting more inner conflict. I was expecting the villain. And clearly at the end of this, the villain in the piece is going to be, you know, the other side of him or the other him. And I think the other him would be better than the other millions of Spider-Men. I found that sort of Spider-Verse HQ where all the Spideys are of different forms and varieties, I thought it was weak, and it started to go towards why I find this whole multiverse trend a weak narrative trick, because it's a way just to keep spinning off without any onus on you trying to find a really convincing reason to get from A to B to C to D. Oh, let's do the multiverse. Let's go through a sort of, you know, time thingy. Let's jump over here. Let's go. You know, multiverse, quantum realms, all this stuff runs the risk, unless done like in Back to the Future. And I have to say, I think The Flash did it quite well. Unless you kind of almost observe the rules a bit more and have genuinely obvious obstacles and complications there, this becomes quite a sort of weak and lazy way to move around and make complicated something that doesn't need to be the complex. It felt incredibly ornate. It felt incredibly complex. And yet when I came out, I thought, well, that wasn't really very complicated at all. And I was left thinking, wow, I can't wait for episode 3, but we have to wait another 5 years. I'm nearly going to be 60. Come on, guys. So what are your thoughts, guys? Have I completely got it wrong? I'm not saying it was bad, but I'm not saying it was particularly, it certainly didn't, it wasn't like a jab of adrenaline in my arm and my heart and my head like the first one was. The first one was like this, wow. And this one was like, oh, okay.